Today, alternative mortgage stress scenarios. Hello again, I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. We get a fair smattering of media coverage relating to our research, but I wanted to draw your attention to an article in the New York Times, Australian housing costs rival New York's, but boom may be ending. I'll put a link to the article below. They quoted me extensively. "We are on the edge of a precipice," says Martin North, principal analyst for Digital Finance Analytics, an independent research and advisory firm. "All of the forces that have driven the home sector and the debt sector higher in the last 20 years are all coming to a critical inflection point. Almost everywhere you look, you can see icebergs," Mr. North said. Mr. North, the analyst from Digital Finance Analytics, estimates that of the 3.5 million mortgages where the owner lives in the home, almost a third of the households have incomes close or less than their expenditures. He predicts that at least 50,000 homeowners will default in the next 12 months. Now, it's nice to get a mention in the US home market, and this is an important story internationally, not just at home. When we released our mortgage stress report for June 2018, we said that the number of households exposed to risks is rising, and if rates were to increase, then around 1 million households would fall into stress, and some may default. And that's up from the 970,000 now. And you can see our post, "The Debt Pips Are Squeaking." Here's the link. The RBA minutes yesterday homed in on the problem of household debt. This is what they said. "Members held a detailed discussion of the high level of household debt in Australia, informed by a special paper, note, which they did not share, prepared for this meeting. Household debt has increased by more than household income over the preceding three decades in many countries, but particularly so in Australia. Two key drivers of this trend across the countries have been the decline in nominal interest rates, predominantly reflecting lower inflation, and financial deregulation, both of which have increased households' access to finance." Members noted that a distinguishing feature of the Australian housing market is that the bulk of dwellings are owned by the household sector. This has contributed to greater borrowings for housing by households in Australia compared with other countries, where the corporate sector owns a larger proportion of rental properties. Another feature of the Australian housing market that has contributed to greater borrowings by households is the higher costs of housing in Australia on account of a larger share of the Australian population living in urban centres, typically in large detached dwellings. Survey data, which they did not share. Now, is that the 3 year plus old data from Hilda, which is out of date, or something else? Who knows? Survey data indicate that much of Australian household debt is owned by higher income and middle-aged people who tend to have more stable employment and often larger savings buffers. However, members recognise that a material share of household debt is held by lower income households, which generally have higher debt relative to their income. Household assets in aggregate are valued at around five times the value of household debt, and total assets exceed the value of debt for most households. Members noted, however, that most household assets are housing and superannuation, and that both of these are illiquid. Members noted that high levels of household debt could affect economic outcomes. For example, households with high debt levels are more vulnerable to economic shocks and therefore more likely to reduce consumption in the face of uncertainty about their future income. Members also noted that changes in interest rates have a larger effect on disposable income for households with high debt levels, but that these households may be less inclined to borrow more at times when interest rates fall. Accordingly, members agreed that household balance sheets continue to warrant close and careful monitoring. Well, we can all agree on that one. Just Too little, too late. In fact, our research says, yes, debt is a problem, and it is hitting many different types of households, including more affluent ones. The RBA should make that special paper public, in our opinion. Now, our analysis of stress and defaults created a stir in the media, and several radio and TV interviews followed, and there was some interesting discussion on social media. One of these, with Peter on Twitter, led to a question about how we make our assessment of stress and the scenarios that we used during our analysis of mortgage stress, which is, as you know, based on cash flow. So we include estimates of expected wages growth, inflation, CPI, interest rates, etc. And this led to a discussion where I volunteered to run a scenario using Peter's parameters. We already added in the tax changes and childcare subsidy in both scenarios, and we don't impose a particular family structure on the scenarios, but rather we use the data from our surveys, which, by the way, aligns to the ABS census distribution. So we ran our model with a 3% wages growth, a 2.1% CPI, and just a small rise in mortgage rates. And stress levels would indeed begin to fall in the year ahead from their very high levels in this scenario, but will still be higher than since the year 2000 because of the greater leverage and debt burden. And here are the results. 1 year down the track, the number of households in stress fell from just over 1 million households to 917,000, a fall of around 8%, although those risking default slid from 59,000 just to 55,000, a fall of 6%. So the impact of potential wage rises in real terms is significant. It is a good outcome. However, even then, the risk in the system remains higher than we've been used to. And the RBA, therefore, is dead right to be worried about household debt. It is a pity they came to the realisation 5 years too late. The journey back will be messy and will only be possible if incomes rise strongly. And in the current environment, I think this is, well, unlikely. So, more pain ahead. If you like what you've heard here today, please like the post and add a comment or question. And if you value the content we produce, please do consider joining our Patreon program, where you can support our ability to continue to make great content. If you want to join the growing band of subscribers who receive alerts when we release new posts, do subscribe now. I'm Martin North, the Principal Analyst at Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again next time.